Bless you, brothers and sisters. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Good morning. Amen. Let us all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning. Ask Brother Marcel if he'd lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you this morning for this glorious day you've given us.
Oh God, we are here this morning to worship you and praise you. And Lord, we pray, Father, that may you help us. Oh God, Father, we love you. And Lord, we know, Father, you created us. You know our frame. And Lord, though sometimes we fail you, sometimes, Father God, we don't do what we wanted to do. But Lord, Father, as your prophet told us, you look at our motives as intentions. And Father, our intention this morning is to worship you. Our motives this morning is to glorify you. So Father, we pray that may you help us to do that. And Lord, we pray that may you bless Brother Tim and Father, anoint him to bring your word. Father God, open all us our heart to receive that word and glorify you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Amen. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Amen. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You all be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So last Sunday, we took a message, the manifestation of Christ. And so we just like to, by God's grace, continue on that subject and dig a little bit deeper here. So we were talking about several different things before. We talked about the seals. We talked about the stature of a perfect man. We talked about the Spirit of Christ. And we want to know what is the identification, the characteristics of God that he shows, because remember, this is a mystery. We brought up scriptures from Ephesians chapter 5, talking about how the relationship with Christ and the bride is a mystery. We talked about that as it relates to Proverbs. And so we are talking about a mystery. And remember, the mystery is only known by Christ and his bride. And so there is a timing of that. And there is a pattern, there is a way that God always works. It is not according to our ways or our thinking, but it comes according exactly of what he said and exactly in the timing that he's thinking of it. Are we all together with that? So now when we look in the scriptures, there is a way that God works within us to get us to position so that we will manifest Christ. Now, if we look in the message, Christ and the mystery of God revealed, God had a purpose for this whole plan of what we see unfolding right now on the earth. Are we all together there? Amen. And so he had a plan in his mind, and so he wanted to show people who he was. And remember, he was by himself, but he wanted to demonstrate who he was. And so we look in the Old Testament and we see the attributes of God demonstrated or shown to us clearly through different people. Now, God always works through people.
Amen.
Now, he manifests himself in the creation. He manifests himself through the universe and the heavens and things. But he also manifests himself through man. And so when we look in the Old Testament, he has always manifested himself through different men and women of God. And so the culmination of that came when he came in the body of Jesus Christ and he displayed the fullness of God. And so then after that, then he wanted to display himself in a people. And we know that that was the bride of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus Christ, the body, was sacrificed, so he shed his blood. His body went up to be a mediator on the throne of God, right? And so that sacrifice is laying there for our sins until that last one comes in. So that blood is shed that was shed on Calvary, and then that bloody lamb is there in heaven so that until, and grace is poured out for this earth, even though the world is in the situation it is, grace is still poured out from that mediatorial work, until that last seed comes in. And once that last seed comes in, there's no more grace. And so then God comes down, or Christ comes down to gather those that are his elect. And so he collects them up, and then the tribulation strikes the earth. So now it transitions from grace to judgment upon the earth. And so those names were written before the foundation of the world. But God had a way that he was trying to manifest himself. So he's trying to right now display himself through us, right? So the question is, where are we at personally in that displaying of Christ? Because we and Christ are to become the same person. So when people see us, they see Jesus Christ. And so, but God has a process and a pattern by which he works through that. And by God's grace, we can look at that a little bit more. So the second fold of the purpose was that God would manifest himself in a people. And we are that people. If you all can understand that and believe that, because of the times that we are living and we see the scriptures fulfilled, that we know that that time is right now. And so we must position ourselves so that we can let Christ work through us through that process so that Christ fully manifests himself in us. And once that happens and that last seed comes in, then we go back to that state of the Garden of Eden. And so it was the same perfect peace, perfect love, and that situation. And that goes beyond what we see on this earth. And if you can understand it or believe it, it goes past the millennium on into past that period of time. So if you can just hold that thought a little bit as we go into this a little bit more. Now, I want to bring our attention to the book of Colossians, where we saw in verse 24, and if we can just delve into this a little bit more, and there's a few passages in the message I'd like to dig into. So verse 24, with Paul saying that, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." So Paul suffered affliction. Paul suffered. He suffered tribulations. He suffered testing. Can you all say amen to that? So when you look in the scriptures, you can see all the different adversity, difficulties, trials, people coming against him, different ways, whether it's nature, different people coming against Paul. And so he was battered on every side, right? And so when we look at Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he was battered on every side, right? So we, if we are Christians, and Christians mean Christ-like, then are we supposed to follow the same type of pattern? Yes. And so that's not an appealing thought, I know, for everyone. But when we look into the book of Colossians, so Paul suffered the afflictions of Christ. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. Now, he's going through this mystery, and then he talks about this mystery being Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that is a mystery of Christ being in you. When I say that, because when Christ comes into you, and the manifestation of that is a mystery behind it all. Now, Brother Branham makes this statement in 1956 in the message Love, Shreveport, Louisiana. He said, no wonder Paul could stand in the face of death and say, O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? So would you like to have that same assurance that Paul had, that he could face anything and still have that assurance that Amen. Talk death in the face and say, where is your sting? Where is your victory? He wasn't just bluffing it. It was real. So if Paul had it, I believe I can have it. Amen. If Paul had it, I believe you all can have it, right? Amen. And so there is an assurance. And we know that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, casts out all doubt and fear. Amen. Do you fear something now? Is the devil tormenting you about something? Because the Spirit of Christ can overcome that. If we continually draw close to Him, yield ourselves to Him, God will give us that overcoming power so that any adversity that comes against us, we can look it in the face and laugh in the face and have confidence that we will overcome it. Amen. Would you like to have that? Amen. Amen. We would all like to have that. So he says this, sure, through tribulations, he had learned the love of God. What is the capstone? It is love. So through tribulations, he had learned the love of God. Suffering brings patience. Works tribulations to bring patience, of course. Now patience makes love and trust. So you want the love of God? Then you've got to go through trials and tribulations and suffering. That builds patience, which leads to love. Amen. So we're going to dig into that a little bit more. So in the stature of a perfect man, how many of you all, you all are familiar. I'm sure some of you all have listened to it or read it. Some of you all have not. I encourage you to listen to it, read it. And the messages that trying to bring forth come from the seals, come from a stature of a perfect man, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, if you want to study these things. So I'd like to bring a thought here. Now, Brother Branham says in the stature of a perfect man, paragraph 451, now he has given us the outline here, what to do, know how to do it. He's talking about the scriptures and Peter talking about the stature of a perfect man. Talking about give diligence to add unto your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, different things. And we know that part of the pyramid. Now, as I said, we are all trying to come closer to God. Amen. Are you trying to get closer to God? Amen. We are all trying to get closer to God. So he says this. So for days before we have the service, I constantly pray, go to the woods, take in my pocket, tell the wife I'm going out squirrel hunting this morning. And I put a pencil and a tablet of paper in my pocket. As soon as it gets light enough to see, I'm sitting up against a tree somewhere, hands up in the air saying, Lord, what can I do today? What will you give me for your children? So he's not just coming up, looking at the scriptures, coming up with his own idea of what to bring forth to the people, but he's asking God to give him the thought of what to bring for the people. He wants the perfect will of God. Then when I strike something that seems to burn down, something comes something like this. When his presence gets near, I begin to hear something like way off in a distance, something on this order, 2 times 2 equals 4. Closer, 2 times 2 equals 4. 2 times 2 equals 4. 2 times 2 equals 4. Brother Branham speaks each repeat a little faster. It keeps going faster and faster. On and on like that. It's his presence coming in. Amen. Yield yourself. Amen. And after a while, you break away from yourself. That's right. there comes the vision. Go to such and such a place and such and such a thing. See, starts off from meditating your mind on God. Now, we know that the men on the road to Emmaus, when they were speaking of Christ and they were talking about the events that had just happened, that's when Christ began to come to them. And then Christ began to come to them and he began to speak to them. They didn't know it was Christ, but he began to speak to them nonetheless. And he began to open the scriptures. And eventually they had a revelation of Christ being there with them, the presence of God. And so if we are having our mind on Christ and meditating on Christ, that's when he comes. That's when the presence of God comes. And so we in our personal time to meditate on Christ and have our minds on Christ, that's when he'll come. That's when his presence will come. Amen. Out of the world, away from the world, out in the wilderness, to yourself. And it starts coming, one. I say any number or anything, just something starts gradually, faintly coming in. Then it comes faster. You sit there and raise up your hands. Don't say a word, just hold your hands in the air. First thing you know, your whole being is caught away. Then you see things that he wants you to know, showing you things that is to come. Now, this is not just for Brother Branham, brothers and sisters. This is for you and I. Amen. So he wants us to get so close to him that we have that relationship with him that we can hear from him, just like Brother Branham, because Brother Branham was our example. And so when he's talking about this, it's for a purpose, brothers and sisters. Sometimes it comes up to a spot until a certain spot and then stops. It doesn't go into a vision. Then scriptures just pour together. I grab my pencil so I won't forget it and write it down. And I come home and look it over and study it. And sometimes it don't even make sense to me when I'm looking it over. And then after a while, here it is. So he's talking about his human mind. It doesn't make sense. Was being brought to him. Because the mind of God is so different than our thinking. How many times has Brother Branham said that? How many times has the scripture said that? So when you get into Christ, you go so far away from your own thinking. When you see the mind of God, that is so different from the rest of the world. That's why the people in this world think that Christians are oddballs, if you're a true Christian. He says, then I get a little book like this and start sketching down just as hard as I can what he tells me. I thought, Lord, I'm going down to the tabernacle and tell them, I come on down, I got something for them. Well, that's how I come. That's exactly until first he gives it to me, I cannot give it out. Now, we're going to delve into this thought a little bit more, but I just thought I'd open that up because we've got to have this relationship with Christ where we get alone with God and we away from the things of the world, away from the distractions, and get in tune with God and get our minds focused on him that he can speak to us. Amen. Remember we spoke of that. Brother Branham says, you know, when we are praying, you know, we talk too much many times and we don't listen enough. And so I encourage us to follow this pattern that he's saying here. Now, this is a part that if we can get into a little bit more here. Now, we know that there's different parts of the stature of a perfect man. And the stature of a perfect man is what God wants us to, the attributes that he wants us to express. Amen. And so he's talking about a perfect man. When he's talking about a perfect man, he's talking about a mature person in Christ. And so we all start off a certain way. He talks about being born again. That's the first step. And so you have to be a new babe in Christ. And he said, you cannot even understand God unless you are born again. So you cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So you must have a change, a complete change in your heart. And then you can see God. And then all these other things begin to build faith, virtue, and virtue being power. And knowledge of Christ. And so that's why he tells us to get into the word, listen to the messages, because we know that that is the foundation of our faith. Amen. Remember, those who are further along in their walk, God, there is a period of time where God really wants us to get into the word, get into the message. I mean, hot and heavy, that's all you do day and night. And so you're constantly feeding on that word to get that word inside of you. And God builds us a certain way so that we have a hunger for something in order for us to meet some type of need. And so like for a child, in the beginning, the baby needs milk. And it's yearning for that milk. And so it is crying for that. And that baby will not be satisfied until it gets exactly what it's looking for. And so as it grows older, then it gets other different things. And Brother Ram has a message called Deep, Calleth Unto the Deep. So there's a hunger, there's a yearning inside that's hungering for something, and it will not be satisfied until it gets it. And so you and I, as children and seeds of God, will not have a hunger there, and so we're reaching for different things. And so those things are essential for our maturity and our growth at a certain time. So a baby only gets milk at a certain time, then solid foods, then steak and different things. And so us as a Christian, we have different stages of our life where we get certain things. And so you've got to build that foundation of knowledge. And so God takes, when you start to mature, that Spirit of God begins to take that knowledge and quicken it. Amen. And bring it to life. Amen. So those scriptures that you had and you learned when you were a child or when you were a young person, and then all of a sudden the Spirit quickens that word and brings it to life. And you understand what that means, and it becomes a reality. Amen. And so then he goes from knowledge, and then he goes to temperance. And this is where these next few ones is where I would like to, by God's grace, go into a little bit more, because I think that's a lot of times that's kind of where we are at a little bit. So at temperance, oh my, we've come to temperance. Now we've had faith first. And he goes through the different ones. Temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol here either. No, temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure. Not in this case. This is Bible temperance. Holy Spirit temperance. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh. Talking about stop drinking alcohol. But we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue. Now, how to control your tongue. Not be a tattler. How to control your temper. Not fly off every time anybody speaks cross to you. Oh my. Amen. So now, let's examine our life. And so when somebody speaks cross to us, certain way, certain individual, family member, brother, sister, friend, and speaks to us, can we remain calm when they say something sharp, cutting, putting you down, something false or whatever? Maybe. Just ask yourselves that question. Can you remain calm? And it's not you trying to make yourself calm, but are you remaining calm? That's the question. But a lot of us going to fall off before we get started, he says, aren't they? See, then we wonder why God is not in his church doing miracles and things that they used to do. See? Yes, sir. See? Add these things. Add temperance to it. Oh, temperance, how to answer in kindness when wrath is spoke to you. Now remember, all these things come naturally. They come as a natural part of us, not, I'd like to give him a piece of my mind, but I'm going to hold back. That's not what he's talking about. It comes naturally, so you feel a way in a love and such a way in Christ that you won't talk sharply back and you don't have a desire to do that. Kindness, when wrath is spoke to you. Somebody say, you bunch of holy rollers down there, don't jump up. And so he goes on and so forth when that. When you're riled upon, rile not back. Let him be your example. When they said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He could have done it. He could have done it and show he was God. So sometimes we're tested. We can do certain things. We can demonstrate to people certain things. But are we supposed to do it? At that time. Remember, Brother Branham says, Jesus did not clown for people. So he says here, are you controlled by somebody else? Or are you controlled by Christ? When they call him Beelzebub, he said, I'll forgive you for it. That right. They pulled handfuls out of a beard, out of his face, and spit in his face and said, come down off the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. So I'm trying to lay these things down so we can see kind of where we're at. Because whether we're at the faith step, whether we're at virtue, whether we're at knowledge, different places. God is building these things up, but we've got to know the accuracy of the word so that we can measure ourselves against the word. Amen. Now he says, when he had the gift, he knows all things. For in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They had seen him perform miracles by telling what was wrong with him and so forth like that. They put a rag around his head like that, around his eyes, and hit him on the head with a stick and said, prophesy, tell us who hit you. We'll believe you. He had temperance. Even though all these things, even though he could control the universe, even though he can control the world, and they said, prophesy, and they beat him up, he let them do that. He could have smote them blind, struck them dead right on the spot, but he did not do that. Why? Because that was not the Father's will. Amen. And so he was in control. We can go on a little bit more and on that one. I'll just read this paragraph. When you got the right kind of temperance, like he had, it'll vulcanize. That means combine and meld together. If you haven't, just a man-made, halfway, soused up belief or temperance. Oh, I ought to slap him down, but maybe I better not. See, it's not the way he wants it. Because they might put my name in the paper about it. That ain't the kind of temperance he's talking about. Don't try to add that. It won't work. Now, Brother Branham makes a statement that these attributes, patience, godliness, and things like that, they're also in people that are not necessarily Christians. So you've seen other people that have some of these qualities, but they're not necessarily Christians. But not necessarily the fullness of what Christ is looking for. But you see them in different people. He says that in the beginning of this message, the stature of a perfect man. So now we get on to patience. Now, building on from temperance to patience. Patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing, he's had patience with God. If you've got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it. That's all. You got patience. So even though you know the promise says this, do we get antsy sometimes and we say, you know, did he really mean that? You know, how long? Maybe I got the wrong idea of what he was saying on this. Does this happen? The human mind does that to us. But there's true faith and true patience. And so when we truly get a revelation of God, we've got to water that faith. And so if you continue to listen to other people with unbelief or other things that are outside of that, it can decrease your faith. Amen. And pretty soon then you'll not believe the promise that God gave you. And so when we receive a revelation of God, we've got to continue to water that faith. Amen. Confess that faith. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the presence of God so that you can continue to keep that faith strong. Amen. Abraham, 25 years. Noah, 100 and something years. Prophesying that although it will look contrary. Now, it's easy to talk about these things. We know about Noah, you know, what he did. We know about Abraham, what he did. But what about this particular situation in each of our lives? What kind of test or trial are you facing right now or have you faced? And so did you pass the test or are you passing the test by leaning upon God's word or are you leaning onto your own understanding? Are you looking at the circumstances and trying to affect the circumstances or are you believing the promise that we are overcomers, that God is our help, that greater is he that is within us than greater than he that is in the world and all the different promises that we are victors. Amen. So the devil cannot have victory over us in any situation. Do you understand? A believer must be victorious in all circumstances because he or she has Christ on her side. Amen. And so if we believe that with all of our heart and have faith in it, then we've got to water that faith so that when, because the devil, he comes very strong and powerful. He does. And you can see it. And your senses declare that he's powerful. Your eyes, your body, your senses, your hearing, all those different things. The pain in your body. You know, what you see, the circumstance, it doesn't look like you can pass it at all. You know, whatever it may be is working on your mind. These avenues are trying to take away from your faith, from the victory that God has for you. But we've got to continue to water that faith, feed on the Word of God, stay in the presence of God to continue to hold on to that. Now, Noah had patience. Yeah, Noah had real godly patience. God said, I'm going to destroy this world with rain. And Noah preached 120 years. Plenty of patience. Not even dew fell from heaven. Remember, they could prove that there was no rain up there. They could prove scientifically that it's not there. A doctor can prove that the cancer is still there. A doctor can prove that Abraham could not have children, neither could his wife have children. Scientifically, it could be proved. But God always wants us to believe in something that is not natural, but is supernatural. And so it goes beyond what you can see. Otherwise, that's not faith, you know, because you can see it. So he says here, I think you all get some of these points. Now he says, he's talking about Moses. He stood still. Amen. Stay right here. God said, just no doubt in his heart, hold your peace. I'll show you something. When you've done exactly what he said, do seems like it went wrong. Stand still, be patient. Talking about the magician's trick. So remember, God told them to put that down, the stick. And so he did, and it turned into a snake. But God never told him that these other things would happen. But he told him that he would deliver the people of Israel with a mighty hand. And so he went, remember, before he was trying with all his might. And so Moses was a general. Moses was a leader. All of this world could put into him. As far as the world could see, he was the mightiest, right? He was going to be king of Pharaoh. He had wisdom. He could teach the Egyptians, Brother Branham said. And yet, he could not lead the people out of Egypt with his own might. And God wanted to prove that you could not do it. No matter how smart you are, no matter how much might you have, all these different things, no matter if you're the king of this world, as far as Satan's throne goes, you will not be able to do the things God will confound. Amen. And so he said he made him come to a headlong topple to show him it was not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so when he realized this and he met God in the burning bush, then he realized it was by faith that he could conquer. And so he gave him the commission. And so Moses had a burning faith. And so when he met that opposition, so God never told him that, but Moses, he had patience. He just stood there and he let God take control. Amen. And so remember that God wants us to let him take control. Amen. He does not want us to put our hands in it. He doesn't want us to try to manipulate it. He wants us to let him fight our battles. And so we have different battles we face. We have different situations that don't seem overcomable, but he wants us to let him fight the battle. We do all that's asked of us, but we let him do the battle. We say, I've done all we can do. Remember, Brother Branham says, we need to do the best that we can do. So we do the best that we can do with the word of God, but then we commit it to God and let him do the rest. And so Moses, he had patience to not let his hand go. Maybe I thought of it something different. I better pick that thing up and maybe I'll do this. If he did that, it would have all come out wrong. But he said, no, the Lord sent me. The Lord told me that Israel will be delivered and I would lead them out here. And so I am going to watch and wait and see because he promised it. And what happened? Then that snake ate up all the others and God had the victory. So now, he says this, we should have patience with one another too. See, one time, we get so much impatient with one another. We think we got to be like Moses. Moses had patience with the people. Look, that's what caused them not to go over. See, if you're trying to do something, like I've tried to get this message over to the tabernacle. So Moses faced all that opposition, you know, a million of people constantly complaining, different things. But did he say, God, destroy them? No, he did not. So we had patience. And so what about us? Do we have patience with one another, brothers and sisters, family members, different things? I've tried to get this message over to the tabernacle to see that each member of the tabernacle become this. It's hard to do. Please try to let the heat not distract you in here. I know it's maybe warm a little bit. I've tried to have patience. This is 33 years. See, have patience. Women still bob their hair. Still just the same. But just have patience, see? How many can say that about their children? You know, I've told them, and they still do this, and they still do that, but I'm still having patience and believing that God's going to move on these children. See, just have patience. Wait, have to. If you ain't got it, don't try to build on this down here. Have patience. He said how he throwed himself in the breach and said, God, don't do it, when God was going to destroy Israelites. Patience with the people that was rebelling against him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we talked about godliness, and I'm going to kind of breeze through that a little bit. He says this, to be like Jesus. When he was smite on one side of the face, he turned the other. When he was spoken rough to, he didn't speak. He didn't rile back. So you see that it's building upon another. So we know that faith was a foundation in different things, but now he's getting how we deal with one another. And if you look at patience, temperance, and brotherly kindness, it's all dealing with one another. Amen. Now he says here, spoken rough to, he didn't speak, he didn't rile back. See, godly, always looking for one thing. I always do that which pleases the Father. See, yes, sir, always. That's godliness, see? So let me see a number of hands because we all go through this, but how many of us have difficulty sometimes dealing with other people? Amen. And sometimes you wish that you had a little bit more grace to be able to handle these situations. Amen. And you know that you're not handling it correctly, right? Amen. And so, but God is going to smooth those things out. Amen. And he's building, because this is leading to something. I want to get to that, hopefully, by God's grace. So he says, I always do that which pleases the Father. See, yes, sir. Then six, let's add that the Bible said here, adding brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Now that's a good one right here, the six, seven, all right, adding brotherly kindness. All right, when we get to that brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place on the matter.
Amen.
So there we go. So how many of us have different tormentors? Amen. Amen. And so those tormentors, do we love them, you know, deep within our heart? Are we not wanting bad things to happen to them? Are we trying to understand them and what their situation is? Now, we can't understand them fully ourselves, but we go to God, and God gives us an understanding of them. As we pray for them, because he says, pray for one another, right? Pray for your enemies. So as you pray for your enemies, then God begins to, by obedience to his word, then he begins to give you an understanding. Amen. Of that brother or that sister, understands their situation, and then you begin to feel sorry for that brother or sister. And so you begin to put yourself in that brother's or sister's place. And if you look at Brother Branham, when he talks about dealing with different people, he begins to feel sorry for them and begins to put himself in their place, even though they're treating him very roughly. He says this, my brother sinned against me, said Peter. Shall I forgive him? He said seven times a day. He said 70 times seven. Brotherly kindness. Now you see, if a brother is all out of tune, don't be impatient with him, see? No, see, be kind to him. Go anyhow. Somebody said not long ago, said, how can you believe these things the way you do and still go to the assemblies of God and the oneness, all the rest of them? Do we have divisions in the message? We do, unfortunately. And so there's different groups and different things. And so can you believe these things the way you do and still go to the assemblies or the oneness or this group or that group? Remember, Brother Branham stood in the middle, right? Between the groups, right? Try to bring them together. If they try to draw a circle away to make walls, then he drew a bigger circle around to bring them in. Put, see, brotherly kindness. See, hoping someday. See, patient with him. See, temperament, enduring with him. knowledge to understand what he believes. Remember, it's in his heart. That's what it is. Virtue in yourself to let it go out with kindness, meekness. So there's, remember, virtue is power. So God gives you the power to be able to do this.
Amen.
To him, having faith that someday God will bring him in. So it may never happen, but God wants us to have patience that someday this will happen. You know, sometimes some people reject or it makes you think that they're not a Christian or they will never accept the message or this gospel or what have you. But he says to be patient with them and to kind of bear with them. And one day they may have acknowledgement of the truth. Next thing, then add charity, which is love. That's the capping stone. One of these days in the church. Now you see that there is a bearing with one another all through this and having patience. But the last part is love.
Amen.
And so it's not filial love. It's not a love that we have for friendship. But it's a different kind of love. Now please let it be known on the tape or wherever more. I'm not teaching this as a doctrine, what I'm going to say now. But I want to show you that by the help of God. I'm going to summarize a little bit just so we can get to the point. But he talks about the zodiac, talking about the Cancer age being the age that they were living in at that time, which was the seventh church age, I believe is what he was referring to. We're living now revealed. And the next thing, the seal tore off, referring to the sixth and seventh seal, it revealed Leo, the lion, the second coming of Christ.
Amen.
And I believe that seventh seal is the revealing of Christ. In the whole person of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Because that is what we are waiting for, the full manifestation of the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He comes the first to the virgin. He comes next, Leo the lion. Now he says this. Talks about the pyramid being a perfect example of the Bible. And the third being the word itself. Now he says, here now, remember in the pyramid, I guess many of you sold, okay, many of you soldiers things was in Egypt. The pyramid hasn't got a cap on it, never been the stone of scone and everything else they got still. And he goes on to say, if you look at the dollar bill, great big capping stone in man's eye, it says on this side, the great seal. Catch it, brothers and sisters. Now he says it never was put on the top of the pyramid. They couldn't understand why. The capping stone was rejected, the head, Christ. But it will come someday.
Amen.
Now he talks about the virtues and different things. And he says they're waiting for the headstone, which is love. For God is love and he controls and he has the strength of every one of these things. That's right. Now he talks about welding them all together. He talks about all these attributes mirroring the building of the churches.
Amen.
So he talks about faith and all these different things. And he mirrors it to the church ages. It's Ephesus, all these others, and Laodicea. But we know that Laodicea was a seventh, but it was not the bride or Christ himself manifested. And so that was to come, and that's why Brother Branham said, we are not in the Laodicean age, but we are in the bride age. And so that is the age, the bride is kept off by itself. It's separated, just like Abraham was separated from Lot into this world of Christ. So he says, then come in brotherly love through Laodicea, and we believe the great message of the second appearing of Elijah in the last day shall sweep the land. And then he says, these fellows wasn't required what these fellows are talking about, the different church age messengers. So, and then Peter says, first seven things, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love, add brotherly kindness, and then the love of God, the Holy Ghost, Christ, in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you got all these virtues sealed in you, then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. So you're born again, and God builds these virtues in you, and then he caps it off with the very person of Jesus Christ, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm almost done, brothers, back there.
Amen.
He says this, and we put the blood of Jesus Christ in sea, and that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the temperance of Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ, the godliness of Jesus Christ, the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ. All these are of Jesus Christ. But he says, and the love of God, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then God representing his church. Okay, this last part, I just want this to sink in and then we'll close. That the same spirit that dwells in me says, hands, reach after that case. The same spirit says, feet, make a step. So he's talking about control. Now he says this. See what I mean? Then the whole stature of your being is governed and controlled by these things. But it cannot be completely controlled until it completely possesses these qualities.
Amen.
So you cannot be completely controlled by God, which is what he ultimately wants to do, until these attributes or these qualities be in you.
Amen.
So now you can see exactly where you are before God can work like he did with the prophet, and to be able to have the mind of Christ and speak the words of Christ. Because when Brother Branham did that, he was under complete control of God.
Amen.
And so you and I have to be under this. Remember, if you look at the pattern of Brother Branham, you can see the pattern of your life that you're going through and building up these qualities until he reached the capstone, and then God completely controlled him.
Amen.
Are we all together? Do we understand that?
Amen.
Let's all stand.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, O Father, for this opportunity to delve into the Word of God, O Lord Jesus. Lord, we just want to follow you, obey you, get ourselves out of the way, humble ourselves to you. Brother Brandon would say, stay humble. You don't have a thought coming. And to don't try to interpret anything, but just let it come to you. And so these things are written here, O Lord Jesus. But it is a time for us to clearly see these things so that we continue to follow your word until Christ comes down on earth in the full manifestation.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for each brother and sister, O Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, your people, there's no greater people, not because they made themselves this way, but you have made them this way, O Lord. But there's no greater people than the people of God. Lord Jesus, bless the service. Bless the song service and the preaching, O Lord. Bless our brothers and sisters. Bless this communion service. Bless those, be with them that are not here. Bless those and strengthen them and protect them that are coming on their way, dear Father. Lord, we ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.